celebrate the Lord. I also want to say happy Father's Day. It is Father's Day, so happy Father's Day. Be thinking of those, our dads, those that have been father figures in our life. It's important that we recognize that and that we honor them. And as I'm thinking of that, I wanted to read, rather than a psalm this morning for our call to worship, I pulled out some verses that kind of speak of fathers and what fathers do. Psalm 103, verse 13 says, "As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him." In Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9, we read, "And these words that I have commanded you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in the house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as your frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Luke 15:20, which is an incredible picture of a father. That's the prodigal son chapter, you may remember. And it says, "And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him." And then finally, Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Father, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate." As we think of our fathers and celebrate fathers and celebrate our Heavenly Father today, let's worship and do so enthusiastically. I invite our worship team to come forward.
Oh, Let's pray. Father, Holy Father, we worship you and praise you and ask you to fill us. Lord, you gave us the best example of a father. And we just thank you for how much you love your children. Help us to learn more from you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. And now, let's sing some more songs. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Get this set up. So, the theme this morning is Jesus is powerful. comes from the scripture of Mark 5:21 through 43. As you may know, we have five senses: sight, smell, hearing, taste, and touch. Each of these senses are very important to us. This morning, we're going to test the sense of touch and discover the power that is in our own touch. Hey, Katie, would you be willing to be my helper, young at heart? So I have a bag here with some objects in it. And Katie's going to reach in, and she's going to grab a hold of one of them. But before she pulls it out of the bag, she's going to touch it and see if she can figure out what it is. I promise no spiders and snakes.
Okay. Well, snakes are fine.
Snakes are fine?
Spiders.
Well, just a minute. Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Is it slimy?
Yes, I love slimy.
Just pick one. And before you pull it out.
Oh, yeah. It's a charger cube.
A charger cube?
Yeah.
So, is she right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey.
All right.
That's my girl.
A spoon. Yep.
Spoon.
Spoon. All right. Last one. Yes, it's a comb. Yay. Thank you, Katie. Round of applause. It's always good to have a good helper. All right. So as we see, the sense of touch is very important. We can often tell an object by its shape and its size and texture. All of these things, all of which can be learned by using our sense of touch. In the Bible, Jesus shows his power of touch. We'll hear about two ways he used his touch to help people. Since Jesus was showing his power through touch, whenever I say the word touch, everybody's going to yell power and go, yay. So power and yay. So you got to listen up. So we're going to do touch, yay. Okay, good. All right, here we go. One day, Jesus was walking through a large crowd. The people were crowding around him so that he could hardly move. There was a woman in the crowd who was not well. Her body had been bleeding for 12 years. There wasn't a doctor that could help her. But she thought Jesus could heal her. She thought, if I were to get close enough and touch,
yay,
his robes, I would be healed. So she pushed through the crowd, and she did it. And she was immediately better. When the woman touched,
yay,
Jesus, he felt the power go out of him. When he found out who had touched,
yay,
him, he said, "Your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Be free from your suffering." At the same time, Jesus was actually on the way to help a church leader whose daughter was very sick. After the woman had touched,
yay,
him, he learned that the girl had died. Then he told everyone, "Have faith." And then he made his way to the church leader's home. When Jesus saw the people crying over the girl's death, he told them she was only sleeping. This made them all laugh. But he still went and touched,
yay,
her hand and said a prayer. She got up. The power of Jesus' touch,
yay,
is so amazing. Dear God, will you all pray with me on this part? Dear God, we long to reach out and touch you. you feel your power and feel your power in our lives. Please help us see and feel your power. Today, as we John delivers the message, we ask you to be present with us, and may we feel something from you, not only physically, but also spiritually, in this message. And we carry all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You're staying, buddy. I got my notes here. I want to say happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. We are in our third sermon of this series. We're doing Matthew 25, and today we're going to be looking at Matthew 25, 1 through 13. So as I said, it's Father's Day, and in our world today, it feels like the word father, for so many, carries a negative connotation. It has a negative sense. Perhaps it's because, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, 19.5 million children in the United States are living without their biological or a step or an adoptive father in the home. That's more than one in four. The report goes on to say this. It says, children growing up in a father-absent home are 47% more likely to live in poverty. They're 7 times more likely to become pregnant as a teen, obviously the girls. They're more likely to have behavioral problems. Children growing up in a father-absent home are more likely to face abuse and neglect. Children growing up in a fatherless home are also at two times greater risk of infant mortality. I thought that was interesting, that if a dad isn't present at that time, that often the children die soon after being born. Children growing up in a father-absent home are more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol. They're more likely to go to prison. They're 2 times more likely to suffer obesity. They're more likely to commit a crime, and they're 2 times more likely to drop out of high school. The source of this is our U.S. Census Bureau. This isn't somebody that's pushing father statistics. This is our U.S. Census Bureau. So as we think about that, and we're looking at Matthew 25, our third week of looking at it, one of the things that was pointed out to me is, as we've been going through this chapter, we've been going in reverse order. So we started with Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, I believe. I'm blanking on it because I'm pulling that off the top of my head instead of out of my notes. But one of the things that was brought to my attention was that in our own church, the reason that I'm preaching on this is because we are officially recognizing ourselves, the session is, as a Matthew 25 church, which is something that the Presbyterian Church USA is doing in seeking for us to be more aware of the ministries that we have. And our financial secretary shared with me this. Natalie shared with me this. This is from 2004 of our congregational report. And it talks about all the things that we were doing as far as giving to the poor and the needy, that we had month by month different things that we were using. And we were using this exact verse, Lord, when did I see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? And the king replied, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did unto me. And so that very verse has been part of the ethos, part of who we are as Mission Woods Church. So we started 2 weeks ago, and Jesus was depicting the final judgment. Last week we focused on the parable of the talents, and today we're focusing on the parable of the 10 virgins at the beginning of the chapter. We're going through this chapter kind of backwards. So we saw what the end was, and now we're coming to the opening of the chapter. And my hope is to tie the entire chapter up by the time we're through today. So let's hear from Jesus' words in Matthew 25, beginning at verse 1 and ending at verse 13. And Scott, or Lance, I have these on my screen. I'm using Proclaim today. "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came, also saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, some of you are probably thinking, how in the world could this possibly tie in with Father's Day? And I got to be honest, I was thinking the very same thing. I was. And then as I started working on this sermon, I was thinking about it, and I was praying about it, and then I looked at the entire context of this passage. See, that's something that we forget to do sometimes when we're reading Scripture. We, especially in our instant society, we have our devotions that you open it up and it has one little snippet, maybe a verse, maybe two, maybe it's not even the entire verse, it's just a section of it, and then several paragraphs of the person commenting about what that might mean for us. And that's what we call our daily devotions. And we lose the sense of what all God might be saying to us in this. So when we're reading our Bibles, we often forget also that the chapters and the verses and even those nice subtitles that we see at the top of each paragraph, we forget that those weren't there in the original translations. Those subtitles and all of that were not there when we were first given the Scriptures. It was something that somebody wrote out by hand. And so when the words of Jesus were first penned, we didn't have the parable of the talents, the parable of the 10 virgins, the parable. We didn't have those titles within our Scriptures. It was all one. So if we're going to look at it, this line of thought that Matthew is talking about, we have to go back and ask ourselves, why is Jesus saying this in the first place? And it all goes back to the very beginning of chapter 24. It's not even in chapter 25. It's back in chapter 24 of Matthew, where Jesus is answering a request and a question from his disciples. They asked him, "Tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age?" That's from Matthew 24, verse 3. And then everything from Matthew 24, 4 through the end of Matthew 25 is Jesus answering that very question. There's three parables. There's three parables, and each one speaks basically saying, be ready. No one knows the day or the hour. We don't know when Jesus will come. So it kind of reminds me, because I'm trying to tie this in with Father's Day, right? That kind of a challenge. It kind of reminds me of when I was a kid and we heard those immortal words that they actually made a cartoon out of. Wait until your father gets home. Does anybody remember that show? Not many hands going up. I remember that show. Wait until your father gets home. And that's really what this whole two chapters is about. For kids growing up in the 60s and early 70s, where most of us, though not all, had a father at home, we knew that those words were serious. When you heard, wait till your father gets home, you knew either you were in big trouble. It happens. Or that what you were talking about or you had questions about was a very serious question. And it had it, and your father was going to be a part, if not the lead, in that conversation. What Jesus is talking about here is very serious. We need to remember that. Matthew 25, 1. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Now, in the Old Testament, when we look at the Old Testament, God referred to himself as the husband of Israel. Isaiah 54, 4 through 6. So Jesus describes himself for us here. Jesus describes himself as a bridegroom. At the time, it was customary in Jewish marriage that the groom and his friends would leave the groom's home and proceed to the bride's home, and there they would have a marriage ceremony, which was conducted often at night, and after this, the entire wedding party would return to the groom's home for a celebratory banquet. See, they even had receptions back then. So this is the context that Jesus is speaking of, that he's using, and he begins by speaking of the 10 virgins taking their lamps to meet the bridegroom. And he divides them. He says 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. So how does he differentiate them? Well, the foolish are not prepared for what might happen. So they don't take any extra oil with them. The wise, on the other hand, they take flasks of oil. So if their lamps run low, they can refill them because their lamps had to be refilled constantly. So as we continue in the parable, we get to verse 5, and we find out that the bridegroom is delayed. We don't know why. Those who knew him might know that, oh, he always runs late. I don't know. But we know that the bridegroom was late. In fact, it wasn't until midnight that they hear the cry, here is the bridegroom, come out and meet him. And that's in verse 6. The foolish weren't prepared. The foolish people were not prepared. They didn't have enough oil in their lamps, but the wise did. And the wise went into the feast, and the bridegroom and the door was shut. But the foolish had to run and try to buy some oil for their lamps in the middle of the night. I wonder about that. Why are they going in the middle of the night? How long does it take them to find oil before they return to bang on the door and say, let us in? And so they return and they ask to be let in. And the bridegroom answers. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. I do not know you. From the beginning of our series, I have said that this whole passage, this whole idea of Matthew 25 is predicated upon knowing our Lord. It's not a simple knowing about. I don't know how the people 2,000 years ago got their news. They certainly didn't turn on CNN or MSNBC or Fox News or ABC or NBC or any of the networks. They didn't, I doubt, have newspapers, since we know that the scriptures were written. In fact, they didn't even put spaces between words because it was so precious to be able to get this information down, and it wasn't readily available. But it is evident from Jesus' parable that the people he's talking about, they knew about this wedding. They knew that it was about to take place. They knew that the bridegroom was coming. Yet there's a difference between knowing about someone and knowing them. We can know statistics about individuals. I can know your height, your weight, your skin color, your hair color, where you grew up, etc. But that doesn't mean that I know you. To know someone is much deeper than that. You know about the people in your neighborhoods, but you don't know all your neighbors. You wouldn't say that, yeah, I really know them well. I consider them friends. But the ones we really know, we know as our friends. We know those that we care about and are important to, they're important to us. In his book, Experiencing God, Henry Blackaby suggests that to really get to know God, we should look around and see what God is doing and join in. I like that idea. And when we began our series with Matthew 25, 31 through 46, see, I did have it right, and the final judgment as depicted at the end of Matthew, we spoke of it being our session's desire that we would declare ourselves a Matthew 25 church, which we have done. And the idea being from Matthew 25 church is based in those verses 35 and 36. I'm going to put them up on the screen here. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And in this passage, when we go all the way through verse 46, the righteous are affirmed for having done these things, that they fed the hungry, that they gave food to those that were hungry. They gave drink to those that were thirsty. They visited the sick and those in prison. They clothed the naked. The unrighteous are cursed for not having done so. We know that feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, welcoming the stranger, clothing the naked, visiting the sick and in prison are good things and things that we should be doing. And here at Mission Woods, I mean, all the way back in 2004, it has been a part of the DNA of this church. We are committed to our local food bank. We are committed to ministries that are providing food and clothing and supplies for the needy. We welcome the stranger and we tend to the sick. Now, the unrighteous knew these things were good. They had to. But they chose not to do them. They chose not to do them. And then they asked the question, when did we see you this way? It's almost as if, well, God, or, well, Jesus, if we had seen you this way, of course we would have done it, because you're Jesus. But Jesus says, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. And we ask the question, why do both the righteous and the unrighteous ask the same question? When did we see you this way? And the answer comes back, When you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. You know, in psychology and in sociology, there's a thing called the diffusing of responsibility, or the diffusion of responsibility. It means basically that the larger the group, the more the people will assume that someone else will take care of it. Okay? I think this poem describes it really well. This is a little story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought that anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. It's kind of a tongue twister. It's kind of fun to think about. But what we want to do is we want to see what God is doing and join in. God has not ceased to work. People think that, oh, well, God was so active in the Old Testament, or God was so active in the New Testament because you have Jesus right there, or the disciples or the apostles are walking around, they're performing miracles. You know what? God is active today. Our Heavenly Father is compassionate and cares for everything, everyone, for God so loved the world, and that includes everybody. And as we draw closer to God, we cannot help but want to join in that compassion for our sojourners in this world. Some have more than us. Some have a lot less. We are called to love them all. We don't do this because we want to earn our way to heaven. No. We know that we can't earn our way to heaven. We do this because it's the family business. You and I are called children of God. We're in the family business. So on this Father's Day, as we honor the fathers among us and we remember our fathers, let's especially celebrate the way fathers have reflected our Heavenly Father to us. And in those areas where, let's face it, we all fall short of God's glory, in those areas where our fathers have fallen short, as we all do, let us be thankful to our Heavenly Father, for He does not fall short. He does not fall short and continues to pour out His love upon us. In all of it, as we ourselves seek to draw closer to God, let's take heed of Jesus' warnings. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. But we know for certain that Jesus will return. Let's remember that. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, amen.
And if you're in your cars, you can drive through and drop it off, or there's a P.O. box in the bulletin that you can mail in your offering. Worship team, will you come up? And we'll give you time to think about everything you need.
As we continue in worship this morning, I want to invite you to turn to your bulletins, and inside there is a prayer insert, and I would like you to join me in praying. We have a lot of people to pray for. I try and mention every name as we pray for them, but I encourage you to read through these. We try and keep the information updated. Sometimes we don't have updates, and so you'll see the same blurb in there several weeks in a row, but we take our prayer seriously, and I am thankful to be a part of a church that takes prayer seriously. And the wonderful thing is that we keep seeing prayers answered. So one of the people that's on here is Haven, and I want to move her up actually into the praise and thanksgiving area, because Haven is now talking again, which she hasn't been doing. You know, she was intubated for a long period of time after her open heart surgery, but she's now talking, and you know, for a five-year-old not to be talking, that's a sign that things aren't very well. So as Teresa was and I were talking this morning, she says, so she's going uphill. Not going downhill. We want to say she's making progress. You know, uphill sounds like a battle. It's still a battle for her. But we can give praise and thanksgiving that she is making those steps of progress. So will you join me in prayer? And we'll start with praying for him. Yes?
I would like to bring up the Morrison family.
The Morrison family?
Yes. We talked a little about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so Art Morrison's son.
Can we get him a mic, because the people outside can't hear you? Just come on up here.
So not everybody knows the Morrison family, but they've been around here for a long time, and Bob and Velma were very regular attenders here and helped us out a lot. Their oldest son, Art, runs a business down here in Fife. He sells race car parts all over the world. It's really great. And his... we got our family business, too, and it just tears me up, you know? That Craig was all lined up to take over the business, died this week with COVID. So the first person I actually know that has passed away. And it's pretty devastating. And I didn't get a hold of Art.
That's Art's son?
Craig?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
In relation to Art, who's that?
His
Art's
son.
Art's son, Craig. He's like 44 years old. Yeah. Apparently he's been battling it for about a month. We hadn't heard anything about that. So... just keep the whole family in prayers. I know Art's devastated. He's got teenage kids and stuff, so it's a bummer.
Thanks, Scott. I know it's hard to have you come up here and stand in front of everybody, but I also want our brothers and sisters out in the parking lot to be able to hear. So let's remember Art and pray for Craig's peace as well. Let's pray. Holy God, we come before you and we are here on Father's Day and celebrating fathers, celebrating you because it's Sunday. God, we thank you that you are our eternal Father, that you are the ultimate example of what a father should be. We recognize, all of us men recognize, that we fall so far short. God, we celebrate today that Haven is talking. We thank you that this little powerhouse, this five-year-old powerhouse, has continued to fight through infections and open-heart surgery and just every stumbling block that seems to be put in front of her, she seemed to be able to conquer. And God, we pray that you will continue to strengthen her and build her up. We look forward to her being out of the hospital and for her parents, Lord. I pray that you would just wrap your loving arms around them, that they would know you in a real way and sense how you have been answering their prayers. We lift up to you Erin, Erin Smith, daughter of former Pastor Ray, and we rejoice in her graduation from UW-Bothell with a Bachelor of Arts degree. And God, thank you for this opportunity she's had for this education, and now we ask that as she moves forward, that you would just bless her and bless her with an amazing future. Help her keep her eyes on you as you lead her. Lord, we pray for Bob, and we praise you that he has begun walking and driving. That's given him some more freedom. We pray for continued healing and patience with the process. And God, we also want to lift up to you those that are in need of your healing touch. We've already mentioned Haven. We continue to pray that you would have your hand on her. We lift up to you our brother Daryl. Thank you for his being here today. It was so good to hear him singing behind me as I sat here in church this morning. God, we pray that as he continues to undergo chemotherapy, God, give the doctors and the nurses wisdom, the technicians wisdom as to how to best treat this cancer that he's fighting. I pray you would continue to strengthen him. It's hard to tell when he's feeling weak because he just keeps powering through it. But God, I know there are days that are really hard. And I know there are days that it's painful. And I know there are days when he's tired. And I can only guess that there are days that he questions and wonders. And I think that's probably true of the whole family. And so, God, I lift up to you, Daryl, and I pray that you would just bolster him with a stronger faith. Continue to encourage him in his walk with you. And I pray that for Joyce as well, as she walks this road with him, and their daughter Anne, as she does the same. A difficult journey, Lord, but we know that you are with them. And God, we thank you that we're able to in some part take this journey with him. And I pray that you would give him a willingness to reach out for help when he needs it, and give us a willingness to offer help when he doesn't ask. He can always say no. But God, we thank you for an opportunity to minister, and we just thank you for the Esslinger family. We pray for Wilma. We pray for her as she's going through some deteriorating health. She's moved now to Wolf Point, Montana. And God, we ask that you would give her peace, and as she's surrounded by some family there. I pray also for the family that she's left here. I think specifically of Kyle and Debbie, and I pray that you would just be with them as they no longer have her right here with them, and there's a sense of loss there, God. But I pray that you would give them all peace, and I pray that you would give them a trust in Wilma's faith. I know she has a strong faith, Lord. And I pray that she might be able to even be connected to our church by listening to our services online. We pray for Patty as well, as she's receiving blood transfusions in the hospital and her kidneys have shut down. God, we pray that your presence would be with her. Give her a sense of peace and, God, a healing touch. We pray for Jan as she's back home now after having an effective treatment for vertigo. God, just continue to strengthen her and walk with her. Let her know that you were with her, and I pray that you would increase her faith. For Jerry, a friend of the Kimberleys, we pray that as he's dealing with a rare disease that causes some paralysis and a lot of pain, God, we pray that treatment for that would be effective. We pray for Barb as she has had these tests come back and that the said that her issues were benign. I pray that she would get, as she gets a second opinion on ongoing health issues, Lord, I pray that they would bring her a sense of peace, and you would give her wisdom and discernment to tell which is the best way to go as she seeks good medical advice. God, we continue to pray against COVID, and it's brought to light as we pray for the Morrison family at the loss of Craig, Lord. And we just pray for Art and Velma. We pray that you would be with them, God, and I just pray in the midst of this turmoil, Lord, I pray that Craig would be at peace, and that you would bring a sense of peace to Art and Velma as well. It's hard, and COVID has been so devastating to so many people in the world. God, I know personally people that have been struggling with it for months. And so I just continue to pray that against this virus, and we pray that we will one day be able to walk without having to worry about it. I pray that the vaccinations would be effective. I pray for those that are struggling with the idea of being vaccinated. God, I pray that they would seek out people to have conversations with and help them discern what is right for them. We pray for our nominating committee as they seek out elders and deacons for our church to lead us spiritually and in ministry. We pray for our session. We pray for encouragement for them as they put practice in place for in-person worship and fellowship. For our deacons, Lord, they have had a long season through COVID, and I thank you as they have worked so faithfully. Thank you for their generous giving of time and energy, for being faithful in the writing of cards and making those phone calls, for doing visitations on porches and outside, and just being able to minister to our congregation. And God, we thank you that you have taught us to pray. And so we pray as you've taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we continue in worship, I want to share with you some announcements. Sorry. I hit the wrong button. That was me, Lance. That was me. I touched the edge of the iPad, and it sent it back. One thing I want to remind you that, you know, we're doing a lot of talk about this Matthew 25, and I just want to say that this has been a part of our DNA as Mission Woods. This is the Mission Woods I know. So when the denomination caught up to us, I mean, when the denomination came out with this program, it was just natural for us to say, yeah, we're on board. And so I encourage you to just be intentional about the way that we're doing that. I want to say Happy Father's Day to y'all, and this is to everybody. We celebrate everybody here. On Mother's Day, we celebrate everybody. On Father's Day, we're going to celebrate everybody. And so after worship today, we have a special treat for you. It is Father's Day, so everybody will be able to have a dad's root beer in celebration of Father's Day. And so I hope that you will take part of that. The nominating committee does have a meeting following our service today. And so if you are a part of that, we would invite you to be a part of that. And if you are considering being an elder or a deacon, I would encourage you to talk to Daryl, who's over here on the far right of our sanctuary, or to Natalie, who's way back in the back. Natalie, sometimes I swear you try and be as far back as possible. It makes the congregation, the sanctuary, feel much larger. Midweek Bible study that's been going on Thursdays, they're going to take a summer break. They usually take a summer break. They are going to take a summer break. And so want you to be aware of that. Our deacons, their next meeting is going to be in person on August 15th. We had announced it for today, and because we have moved the congregational meeting, which is right there, it is going to be on July 25th. Since we moved that, the deacons, their purpose of their meeting was to be able to choose their officers for that. So with that being all of our announcements, I want to invite our worship team up. I want you to invite you to stand as we sing our closing hymn, which is not, which is this one. There we go. Name of Jesus with you.
And of all, it will joyfully forgive you. Take it wherever you go. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name.
From the doorway, as I have been doing for our parking lot people, but it includes you all in the sanctuary. And now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above and beyond all we can ask or even imagine, to him be all glory, honor, and praise, both now and forever. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Don't go anywhere too quickly because the root beers are coming.